Inside Your Business on Kaya Biz is powered by Capitec Business Banking. Bank on better with Capitec, the business bank for everyone.
Kaya Biz.
Inside Your Business.
It's 19 minutes now to 7 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. And as mentioned, we're getting inside your business, getting an opportunity to understand how different sectors really, truly operate. For many of us, when we go to a restaurant or an eatery, we typically think about the food, the company, and the atmosphere. And if you consider going to a Sol Souvlaki, which serves traditional Greek street food, or even a news cafe, always known for many South Africans to be a place in an environment of high energy and a good time for entertainment, but also the likes of Moyo, providing a more cultural experience in terms of proudly African dishes and sharing that passion through the experience as well in their restaurants. We might interact in that manner with these particular brands, but there's a lot that happens in the background from a business perspective to keep the operations going. To tell us more about this, we're joined by operations executive at 4 News, the company and the business that is behind the brands known as News Cafe, Sol Souvlaki, and Moyo Restaurants. Ryan Pellet joins us now to tell us more. Ryan, welcome to Kaya Biz.
Right, thank you for having me.
I must tell you, I'm super excited to have this conversation because I'm always intrigued by the inner workings of industries and sectors that we often take for granted in South Africa. And restauranting, perhaps, is one particular sector and industry we need to shine the spotlight on. A contributor to employment, significantly paying taxes, also contributing to the supply chain environment in terms of the procurement of food, drinks as well, and then distributing that to us as consumers. And you still need to deal with me complaining about hair on my plate. How do you do it all?
Yeah, it is a very complex business, and there's obviously a lot of elements that, you know, that are required in order to put the final product essentially on the plate. So it doesn't come without its challenges.
Yeah.
Specifically in today's times, and I think with the economic climate, there are certainly a lot of tough, tough issues we have to deal with on a daily basis. But I think the one thing the restaurant industry is, I am saying this on behalf of the industry, is we have shown a lot of resilience. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the people that make the industry what it is, certainly know what they need to do to get the job done.
Mm. And I'm glad you highlight the word resilience because I'm aware that News Cafe is actually celebrating 20 years in business this year. That's a huge feat for any organization. And I'm quite keen, for you just to highlight a few of the lessons and learnings, because these 20 years were also fueled by, load shedding, periods of water shedding we had, low economic growth, high levels of inflation, and even a shortage of food supplies at some point. But just talk us through, I guess, some of the pivotal moments and experiences you've had with News Cafe specifically as a brand, given its the relevance and the endearment so many South Africans have towards it.
Yeah, so News Cafe started in 1995, so that actually makes it the 30th year this year.
Oh yes, my
which that's 30 years of essentially cocktails, food. And I think the brand has been on a big journey over those 30 years. We often speak about what the brand was, obviously in the beginning in 95, but even what it was in the 2000s and going into the World Cup in 2010 and certainly what it looks like now. I think it's very different. We've certainly been able to or needed to evolve in order to keep it relevant, to adapt to who the new consumer is. The consumer is forever changing. Mm. And the ability to adapt is key to the success and to being a long-standing brand with 30 years worth of legacy to talk about.
Maybe let's zone into that in just a moment. Consumer trends and consumer shifts. Right now, it's all about Gen Zs, millennials. We're still relevant, but people think we're fading out quite quickly. I'm quite keen for you to talk to us, again, focused on News Cafe, around how that consumer segment has evolved over the years, because when I think, flaming Lamborghini, a lot of new memories of News Cafe come to mind, but the younger generation might not be able to relate.
Yeah, definitely the occasion has changed. I think, the late night big party is potentially not what it used to be. We certainly know that the younger generation that is starting to to certainly aspire to be in a news cafe is certainly things very differently around what they're looking for in terms of an occasion, but as well as what they're looking for in terms of an experience. You know, it's not necessarily all about big alcohol consumption. You know, we certainly know that the younger generation is looking for better alcohol, and even when it comes to eating and dining, you know, I think they are far more discerning. And also they've been exposed to what's happening globally. So, you know, the need for us to also ensure that we are, and no longer can we follow the trends globally. We have to be part of the trend globally in order to remain relevant.
Interesting. I'm glad you highlight that, you know, the global relevance, but still being locally adaptable. Let's talk about, you know, operations at large. And I assume that this is where you plug in. You have about 80 business partners. And this is also because you have a franchise model, again, which also comes with its own unique nuances. But I'm quite intrigued just to help us understand, you know, the full spectrum of the value chain that you take care of in order to keep operations running.
Yeah, I mean, it does spread wide. You know, it often when we ask the question about just how far it goes, you know, we can have quite a lengthy discussion on it. But I think to elaborate briefly on it,
sure.
You know, we've obviously got our key partners in terms of our franchisees, you know, as our key stakeholder, followed by landlords. Landlords are integral to what we do. We need the property and the space in order to do what we do. You know, finance houses and banks, again, are key. You know, we need their assistance in order to fund new business and existing business and fund projects to be able to evolve and change. So, you know, again, they're key. And then, you know, I always like to talk about our most important stakeholders, and those are our people that work within our business.
Yeah.
You know, we've been very blessed to have some great people over our 30-year journey. And, you know, we're busy reflecting on the last 30 years. And that, you know, as part of that reflection, we're obviously looking back at people who have worked in our business. And yeah, it's remarkable just to think how many people we've interacted to and have a good story to tell about working in a news cafe, and whether it was just as a part-time waiter or, you know, potentially even more as a manager or even as a full-time employee as a waiter. Or yeah, there's some really good stories that come from it. I mean, that's really what in terms of our key stakeholders, but obviously the supply chain is integral to what we do. We work very closely with a number of suppliers. You know, they're also a big contributor to our business. They allow us to do some really cool stuff. They often are prepared to take a gamble on some big bold ideas that we you know, that we also have.
What kind of ideas?
Just new ideas, you know, mostly around menus and offerings and even just exciting projects in store. You know, we're very fortunate to work within the liquor space, which is both a tough space but also a fun space to be in. And, you know, that allows us to get up to some, I suppose, you know, some cool projects over the years.
Yeah. We probably also take for granted the high levels of compliance that are required within the restauranting environment that you work in. And maybe, you know, give us some insight, you know, safety, regulation, and even hygiene controls that we typically might not be privy to as customers, but that need to be often reviewed consistently to ensure the success of outlets like yours.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's, you know, that's forever changing day by day. You know, again, I think what the restaurant industry was kind of 20, 30 years ago was quite loose. I think there's a lot more emphasis on certainly on hygiene and standards and safety, compliance. You know, again, you know, landlords also ensuring that their tenants operate you know, within the accordance of the law, but also, you know, respectfully to other neighbors and to, you know, neighboring tenants and to their customers. So, yeah, there is a great deal of compliance. You know, obviously dealing with a food product, you know, and often, you know, perishable products, you have to have a lot of systems and processes in place in order to manage those, you know, and obviously to prevent any potential problems, because there are some serious risks in not being able to manage your product properly.
Got you. Coupled with that, it's the macroeconomic environment you're competing with, right? Not just the amount of rands and cents we have in our back pockets, but we just spoke about inflation a moment ago, you know, household income, interest rates. And these are all factors that also influence not only your business model when it comes to the sites that you operate, but also maintaining your margin. So that every plate that goes out does come back with a level of return. Help us understand, again, where you make your highest margin, how that's typically managed during difficult and shifting cycles.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges that we have as restaurateurs, is certainly to manage what that cost of sale looks like. Mm-hmm. You know, we particularly on the fresh produce side of things, you know, that pricing changes almost daily. I think we're all very much aware that we're sitting with some problems on beef at the moment. So there's massive shortage of beef oh, yeah. due to, you know, foot and mouth at the moment. You know, prices are going up almost daily at a time. They've thankfully stabilized a little bit, but you know, that makes it tough because, you know, we can't be printing new menus on a daily basis, number one. And number two, you also can't be passing all of that cost on to the consumer. The consumer himself is pressed. So yeah, we've got to manage our product really carefully. We've got to manage that cost of sale. We've got to put a great product onto the plate. That's ultimately what's going to bring the customer back and talk positively about their experience. But there's a lot that needs to happen in the background in order to get that right.
Got you. What about managing your sites as well? And I ask this perhaps focusing a little bit more on the Moyo brand. If I'm not mistaken, there used to be a Moyo up the road here at Mauro Zarch. If I'm not mistaken, around Zoo Lake as well. But there have been certain closures of some of your establishments that have taken place there. Talk us through the reasonings behind that.
Yeah, I think just to touch on it briefly, you know, Moyo, obviously an iconic brand in South Africa. I think largely off the back of being an ideal tourist destination. Mm-hmm. A lot of corporates would use Moyo as a venue for call it year-end functions or other functions happening throughout throughout the year. And unfortunately, you know, and I don't really want to talk too much on COVID, but COVID was tough for the Moyo brand. You know, big stores, big overheads. You know, not having any tourists around, corporates not being able to spend and go out. So, yeah, unfortunately, we've had to relook at what Moyo is. But mm-hmm. we've still got a store down in Kirstenbosch. We've recently done quite a nice upgrade and reinvented what the Moyo brand is. Mm-hmm. It's performing exceptionally well. And I would, if you're in Cape Town, I would encourage you to go and have a look and see what Moyo has to offer in our current times.
Got you. And Moyo was really an experience, right? Because there would be drummers and singers and, you know, you get the dots on your face and actively participate in all forms of African culture. And what you mentioned about COVID, I think, is a big one for us to just reflect on, you know, the legacy of COVID, not only on your business, but on decision-making skills as a leader. And I ask this because to maintain the relevance of a brand throughout all these years is something that you've managed to do, but, you know, keeping to its ethos, but evolving it to be relevant to the current market needs. It's a lot. So I'm quite keen for you to take us through that journey there, Ryan, and perhaps some key lessons, the legacy of COVID and still keeping true to your brand's ethos, though you need to make it relevant to the market.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and obviously we had many discussions around COVID and kind of analyzed it. And obviously they were not great times, and particularly as a restaurateur, it was really tough. But what COVID did do is it allowed us to almost press a pause button, you know, and to kind of take stock, to rethink, to ask some really hard questions. A lot of out the box thinking. I think that's the one thing the government forced us to do, was to think out the box, come up with some creative ideas. You know, some worked, some didn't. But yeah, I think that, you know, that ability to think and change in thinking is important. You know, we've certainly and particularly on the News Cafe brand, we've really relooked at what it is. And it's certainly a very different product coming out of COVID to what it was going into COVID. And you know, we're very blessed to have, you know, to be celebrating 30 years. We're celebrating 30 years as a strong brand. Mm. We've opened up 6 stores in the last 14, 15 months.
Sure. Which brands? You know, so are all the, Would this be under all the various brands, the three brands that you represent?
That's on Nescafé alone.
Wow.
So, you know, we're in a really good place. And yeah, a lot of that, when we do look back to COVID, it was the ability, I think, to just really take stock and ask some hard questions, to think out the box, to challenge ourselves. And yeah, I think that certainly got us into a good place today. And we are certainly blessed.
A big theme that's obviously come up of late has to be e-commerce. And sometimes we want to have a great Nescafé meal, but in the comfort of our homes. Are dark kitchens a theme, or how are you analyzing the view of e-commerce versus the experience regarding your brands?
Yeah, look, I mean, e-commerce is obviously it's a big category. You need to decide where you want to play. The reality is Nescafé is, and I'll speak very, very quickly on Nescafé specifically. Sure. It's very much about the experience in store, you know, and we're not able to deliver that experience in a takeaway box, unfortunately, or fortunately, possibly. you know, so there's not a great deal of emphasis for us to play in that space. You know, we want people coming into our stores, having a good time. And that's where we will continue to focus on. You know, either we must be specialists and play in that space, or we must rather focus our time and attention into delivering a great product and a great experience in our venues.
Yeah, got you. We've spoken a lot about Nescafé as well as Moyo, but Soso Vlaki is also one of the features you have under your portfolio. I'm very familiar with the one you have up here in Rosebank. So amazing menu. But I'm keen to understand that shift, because it does seem as though, you know, focus on street food, fundamentally Greek-based, quick in and out. It almost seems as though this is the new consumer segment that you're speaking to in terms of Gen Zs.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly got its place. It's the occasion is obviously very different. It obviously sits more in that kind of fast casual space. Certainly does appeal to that Gen Z consumer. It certainly has got its got its place. We still, however, need to deliver an experience. We need to put a great product on the table, because that, you know, are the key elements to get consumers to come back. So although the occasion might be different, and although the consumer might be different, in terms of what's needed to make it successful, still remains the same.
Got you. Ryan, before I let you go, I can imagine that there's lots that you have under your sleeve in terms of tricks and new strategies that you're going to implement. You've mentioned that you've opened up recently 6 new Nescafé stores. Soso Vlaki obviously making waves, and Moyo, beautiful repositioning within Kirstenbosch in Cape Town. What's next? What's the next 6 to 12 months look like for your business? And more so, what does that mean for us as consumers and patrons who would come into your eateries?
So I don't think we are, you know, we certainly aren't in a position to go and be doing radical new projects at the moment. We are very much understand that the brands that we have, I think we've got a good understanding of them. We know that they are in good positions at the moment, and we are going to give them the love and attention that's needed to continue to grow them. We've got some additional new stores that are coming up. And yeah, so we've got some more Nescafés opening in some new areas where we haven't had presence before. So a lot of time and attention will be focused on that.
Sure.
And then we will be celebrating our official 30-year birthday from in the month of October. So there'll be a lot of excitement happening throughout our venues over that time. And then, yeah, we will be going into peak season over December. You know, that often comes with a quite a big menu change. So there will be some new offerings, both on our food menu as well as our cocktail menu. So we've got quite a bit to look forward to leading up to the end of the year.
I can't wait to see what October looks like for Nescafé right across the country. And not just in the country, but sub-Saharan Africa as well, right? Namibia, Zambia, a few other markets that you're in.
Yeah, so we do play in the cross-border space, and one of the new stores we're opening up is actually in Lesotho. So beginning of November, we'll be trading in Maseru. So that's very exciting to add to that cross-border portfolio of ours.
Fantastic. 30 years later, still celebrating the experiences we had with the flaming Lamborghini. That will always be my reference, Ryan. As you can tell, core memory. Core memory.
A core memory for many. Both good and bad.
Right? More good, though. Ryan, such a pleasure speaking to you, and thank you so much for your time, sir. Looking forward to seeing the growth and the experience from your customers, too.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Ryan Pellett, Operations Executive at 4News. That's the owners of News Cafe, Soul Souvlaki and Moyo. Helping us just get a better understanding of the operations of the business. And as you've heard, News Cafe has been in the game for 30 years. Sheesh, that's older than some of its patrons. So I want to hear your views. As a South African, you've heard my core memory of News Cafe. But yeah, it's a while back. It's a while back. No judgment, guys. Safe space. Share your thoughts around the restauranting space. Some of you might be involved, involved there, and of course have experience. Some of you perhaps just much like me as a patron, but have a particular preference for the kind of eateries and restaurants you go to. Maybe you've even worked there. Share your thoughts and your experiences with us. There's a lot to dissect on the show today, but obviously, looking at the business side of everything, there's always some kind of economic consequence to the environment that we're in. Join us and share your thoughts on 063-688-0959. It's 2 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Why pay more for business banking?
Does your account come with a private jet?
A five-star lunch? A butler named James? Didn't think so.
At Capitec, you get the same low fees as personal banking, so you always know what you get and what you pay. Open your account in minutes and save up to 50% on transaction fees. Visit capitecbank.co.za to get started. Capitec, the business bank for everyone. Capitec is an authorized FSP. 46669. Conditions apply.